online with us. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Don't miss Sunday morning. You know, we'll continue our series tonight on Every Spiritual Blessing is Ours, and we'll continue that Sunday morning. But this Sunday morning, you know, one of the blessings that belong to us is that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, from the power of Satan and sin. So we will talk specifically about how to overcome temptation and how to overcome sinful habits and addictions. Glory to God. There is freedom in Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. And then we haven't had prayer. We suspended it during the summer. And we when Daniel left, we stopped it. Then we suspended it during the summer. But you know, prayer is extremely, extremely, extremely important. You know that as well as I do. And a corporate prayer is important. So beginning next Wednesday night, we will start back corporate prayer after the evening service, you know, which always is an hour service, 7 to 8. And so about 8:15, we will have prayer, corporate prayer, and we'll pray as the Spirit leads us. You know, we don't have any definite format. We just may pick up one subject to pray about that one subject, but we'll be leading that, and we invite anybody that can stay and wants to stay for prayer or to come to prayer on beginning next Wednesday night. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Hallelujah. We're glad to have you. If you are with us online, as Margaret said, praise God. I have several people that are watching us online regularly because they're in a position where they can do that. And like I said, this is kind of their online church. People can, you know, they need to go to a local church, but there's different situations and different reasons why people can't do that. But we are glad to have any and everybody that's watching us online, and we appreciate you very much. Praise God forevermore. Let's open our Bibles or whatever you're looking at tonight. Let's look at the scripture, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3:11. We'll read it, then we'll come back into it a minute. Come back to it in a minute. Revelation chapter 3. Glory to God. Verse number 11. Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming back. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown." The spiritual things that you have received, he says, hold fast to them. Well, why do you have to hold fast to something? Well, because it could get away from you. So he says to hold fast. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And so we're looking at many of these blessings that belong to us, that we have been blessed with. But I want Margaret to come up here and explain to us grammatically, has blessed. Amen? Glory to God. Because there's a different, the verb there, the tense that it's written, just so that you'll understand it better than I can explain it.
Hallelujah. Well, if you don't like English, just chill out, because it's going to be real simple, and you're going to get it, Tony. He said, praise God. You know, in verbs have different tenses. You know, we're familiar with the present, the past, and the future. That's simple. You know, there's the progressive tenses with, you know, your ing. And this verb that we're looking at here is written in the perfect tense. And the perfect tenses are very interesting to me, and they're very exciting. But, you know, and I don't know why they're called the perfect tense unless it has to do with when something is perfected. Because perfect tenses really have to do with the flow of time. If you were talking, they will use a helping verb with the past participle, but a helping verb with the past. Like if you said he will have done it, that means that it's something that started in the past and will be completed sometime in the future, right? He will have done it tomorrow. If you say he had done it, that was something that happened in the past and was completed in the past, all right? So that's your perfect tenses. But this verb, has blessed, is the present perfect tense, which is wonderful because it talks about something. The perfect tenses deal with an event or an occurrence that happened in the past. So the present perfect deals with an event that happened in the past but continues and is affecting and in effect in the present. Glory to God. So has blessed means that Jesus in the past purchased all that we needed and purchased our blessing, the blessed life for us. And that blessed life in the perfect tense, the present perfect tense, that blessed life that happened in the past continues and is now affecting our present day. Amen. And every time you read it, it's your present. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I couldn't have said it better. I couldn't have said it, period. Just thank God he did it. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at many of these blessings that belong to us in the present that Jesus did for us in the past. Can you say, amen. Glory to God. And one of those blessings is healing. Healing belongs to us. Glory to God. And because this is so important, you know, what we're doing is a series within a series. We're talking about these different or many of these different blessings that belong to us. But we are specifically on Wednesday nights dealing just with the subject of healing, looking at a lot of things about healing. Amen. So we're devoting teachings on divine healing in this series on all these things that belong to us. You know, over the years, I would say that well over 50% of the requests that I get personally as a pastor, well over 50% of the prayer requests that we get as a church are about healing. Well over. I mean, it may be as much as 70 or think of all the different things people could have prayer, need prayer for. And there's a lot of things people need prayer for. But by far, the number one thing we get requests for is somebody needs healing. Regularly, constantly, I get reports or requests to pray for someone's healing. You know, I get lots of text messages and people contact the church by phone or people turn in prayer requests. Had two turned in to me tonight. Amen. Just right before the service for healing. Glory to God. And we regularly hear reports of people healed because of prayer. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And I'm telling you, just in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we have received an unusual number of prayer requests, and every single one of them is for healing. I mean, I've got 15 prayer requests in the last, every one of them is for healing. Glory to God. And again, we've received testimonies of people being healed. I said that just to make the point that divine healing is important. Sometimes we don't think about that when we're feeling good. Sometimes young people don't think about that, but divine healing is important. So it's extremely important. It's very necessary and imperative and wise and important and needed that we keep our faith strong in the area of healing, not just for ourselves, but so that we can minister effectively to others. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. And Revelation 3:11 says, hold fast. In other words, hold tight to something. Hold fast. Hold tight to what you have. If someone says, get a good hold on that, what are they saying? They're saying, you need to really, don't let that go. Amen. I was fishing with my grandson, Wyatt, not too long ago. Doug and I were fishing, and I hung a big catfish. You know, we didn't weigh it, but it probably weighed, I don't know, it might have weighed 25 pounds, maybe 20 pounds. But, you know, that's a big fish on a relatively light bass rod. You know, you're using one with what we call a light-powered bass rod. And so I handed it to Wyatt, and I said, Wyatt, reel this in. And so his eyes were that big, and he was reeling it in. And now you've got to understand this when you know, you can catch a fish off a $10 rod and reel, but we prefer not to. Our rods and reels are maybe $300 to $500. And so this was a $250 reel and a $250 rod. And Doug, his father, was going, Wyatt, don't let go of that. Don't let go of that. Wyatt, be sure you get a good hold on that, because he didn't want that fish to pull that $500 worth of equipment out of his hand. And so get a hold of something, because it's heavy or it's slippery. It'll try to get away from you. Well, you have to hold fast to spiritual things. There is a wrong belief in the body of Christ that, well, if God does something, if he really does it, then you just have it forever. That's not true. That's not true. You remember Jesus talked about the devil leaving somebody and the devil comes back and he finds the house swept and clean. Amen. And then he comes back to try to steal what he lost, to take back what he lost. We have to hold fast that which we've been given. And one of the things that belongs to us is healing, and spiritual things can be lost and healing can be lost. So hold fast to it. Don't let it get away from you. So we're looking at on Wednesday nights, so here's our approach. We're looking at 8 things we need to know. I mean, I'm telling you, if you know these 8 things and you're walking in the light and walking in love, I can't think of one possible thing that would keep you from receiving your healing. But 8 things we need to know about divine healing. And we said, this is in the past. I don't know if it's in the past, present, or past, but it was in the past. We said, number one, You need to know that it is God's will to heal you. And the number one reason, there are many reasons you can know it's God's will, but the number one reason you can know that it's God's will to heal you is because healing is in God's plan of redemption. Know that it is God's will to heal you because healing is in God's plan of redemption. Redemption, of course, is what Jesus bought and paid for us when He died on the cross at Calvary. Amen. Everything that Jesus provided for us, that's when He atoned for our sins. Glory to God. And He died on the cross so that we could be saved and so that we could be healed, among other things. Now, don't minimize or underestimate the importance of that. Everybody in this room has probably heard multiple times, maybe even 100 times, faith begins where the will of God is known. In other words, you have to know what God's will is before you can confidently and boldly claim by faith any provision, no matter what it is. You must know that it is God's will. But don't minimize that. I said, don't minimize that. It really is true. T.L. Osborne said it this way. You could quote a lot of people, but he said, it is impossible to boldly claim by faith a blessing which we are not sure God offers, because the blessings of God can be claimed only where the will of God is known, trusted, and acted upon. And there are many Christians, including Pentecostal Christians, including charismatic Christians, including what we call Word of Faith Christians. They know God can heal. They know He can. They know that He does heal. They've seen it. They've experienced it for themselves. They've heard other people testify about it. But sometimes, even among strong, what we call word people, they're not always totally convinced that it's always God's will to heal them in their particular situation. And if you are not totally convinced of the will of God, then it will hinder you. Because they'll come up with all kinds of reasons why they're not going to get their healing this time. They think it's God's will to heal. They hope that's true. But they're not really, really sure that God always wants to heal. And the number one reason, number one, people don't have faith to be healed is because they don't know for a certainty that it is God's will to heal them. That's the number one hindrance to faith. The people don't. There's other hindrances, but faith starts with, it begins with knowing what God's will is. You must know for an absolute certainty that it is God's will to give you what you're asking. Amen. By definition, you know, faith by definition means to be fully persuaded, fully convinced. Glory to God. With no wavering. You must have no wavering that something is true. So people who waver and question whether healing's really, really, really God's perfect will for me this time, they stop the power and flow of God working in their body. So we must know. Amen? And the number one reason we confidently know that it is God's will to heal us is because Jesus at Calvary bore our sicknesses and diseases. By His stripes we were healed. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, which included every sickness and every disease. Can you say amen? And then number two, we said, a little bit of review because it's been a while since I was with you on Wednesday. We said number two, you need to know the difference between God initiating healing supernaturally and man initiating healing through his own faith. You know, gifts of the Spirit and all kind of special demonstrations and manifestations, like God came down and troubled the water and the first person that got in was healed. That's wonderful. He's sovereign. He's God. If He wants to do that, He can do it. But you don't have to wait for the troubling of the waters. Like the woman with the issue of blood, like the centurion who came in behalf of his servant, who came to Jesus in faith. You can go to Jesus in faith and you can initiate your own healing anytime you want to, because it belongs to you, and you can use your faith to receive whatever rightfully belongs to you. And that's so important that you understand that. We talked about that. Then number three, we said, know that healing is not always instant. It's not always readily revealed to our senses. You know, if you cut a tree down, I was in my mother's house last week, and I think Sheila said something about that Sunday, but we were, you know, she has these great big Florida live oaks in her yard. I mean, massive trees, and the limbs hang all the way, just some of them were that far from touching the ground. You know, and she had other trees that, you know, you just go up 2 foot, and here's a limb that runs as far as from me to you guys right there. you know, and that's, you know, you can't get under there with a lawnmower and so forth. And we were cutting off trees, limbs that big around and all that kind of, well, when you cut one of those tree limbs off, it looks alive. But it is not gradually going to die. When you cut that limb off, it is dead. But it doesn't look dead. Amen. And so we need to understand that. Healing is not always instant or always readily revealed to our senses. You could be totally healed, but it not be apparent to your senses yet. Or then sometimes we need to understand this. You know, Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Recovery is a process. I know there's been times when I can remember praying for one of our girls one time. They had a fever, and you could just feel them, the fever begin to, just their head cool down, you know, and then just get better and better. I've had that myself where I had a fever and believed I received my healing, and I just got better quick. Not instantly, but in a matter of, in 10 minutes, I was 50% better. In 30 minutes, I was 75% better. And an hour and a half later, I was 100% better. But it was I recovered. I convalesced. Amen. So sometimes healing is gradual. It takes effect by degrees. You know, the lepers were healed as they went. Glory to God. And so bottom line, we must not think, this is what's important here, we must not think or believe because we didn't feel something immediately or see something immediately, we shouldn't think that we didn't get healed. And this scenario has played out untold millions of times at Pentecostal churches in the world last 100 years. They came to the altar, somebody laid hands on them, somebody anointed them with oil, and they turned around and walked off, and they felt, and when they didn't feel any better, and when, you know, then they said, well, I guess I didn't get anything. No, the power of God, I promise you, if the prayer of faith was prayed, the power of God went into that person. And they should have said, praise God, I'm healed. I'm healed because the Word of God says when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I'm healed because of the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed because the Bible says when you anoint people with oil, they will be healed. Amen. But you see, they lost their healing because they thought it had to be immediate. Glory to God. No, we should stand in faith and stand our ground and not waver. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. And we talked a lot more details about all these things, but here's new. Number four. Right on the heels of this, of number three is this. You need to know that healing can be lost. You need to know that healing can be lost. Sometimes people can see that they are healed, or sometimes people are getting better and better. They're recovering. They're convalescing. Amen. But then some emotion comes along. Some symptom comes along. You know, the devil can operate in the physical realm, the natural world. Some feeling comes along. Some pain comes along. Some thought comes along and says it's not so. And instead of standing against it and resisting it, they think to themselves and sometimes say out loud, oh, I thought I was healed. I guess I didn't get anything. I thought I was getting better, but I guess I'm not. Yeah, or it's come back on me. They begin to waver. They begin to doubt. And they lose their healing, and again, they stop the power of God that was working in their body. Do you know that during the great healing revival that took place in this country, there was one that took place in the 1930s, but there was one that took place beginning in 1947, ran all the way until the late 50s. That's when you heard about, that's in the day of Jack Coe. That's in the day of Oral Roberts. That's in the day of T.L. Osborne. That's in the day of William Brannan. You know, and even men like Brother Hagin will tell you the greatest miracles he ever saw, you know, in mass happened at those meetings in those days. Even during those great healing revival meetings, there were people that had been blind from birth. They got healed, but 3 weeks later, they couldn't see. There were people that jumped out of wheelchairs that had been in wheelchairs for 25 years. I mean, they couldn't walk. In other words, sometimes people use a wheelchair just for assistance, but they couldn't walk. They jumped out of wheelchairs, and 6 months later, they were back in the wheelchair. There were people, multiple people, the world took notice of this, that were totally deaf, and their hearing was restored, but 9 months later, they couldn't hear again. They were healed. See, the world even came along. You can go back and if you could find it and read news stories and so forth. The world even came along criticizing the healing revival and said, well, you see these preachers, they just emotionalized them. They just stirred them up and they so psychologically affected them. Give me a break. I'll bring about 25 people up here in a wheelchair that's never has walked in the last 25 years, and let me see if you can find one person in the entire world that can emotionalize them out of that wheelchair. They were healed by the power of God, but they lost their healing because the devil came back and all of a sudden shot a pain in their body or said something to them and fear came on them. And instead of doing what the Bible says, instead of resisting it and standing against it, they said, oh my God, I thought I was healed. I guess I'm not. And bam, they lost their healing. P.C. Nelson said this. It's interesting when I think about P.C. Nelson. You know, he was an extremely well-educated man. He established Southwestern Assemblies of God. He was a Baptist minister, but, you know, really, he'd have to be one of the founders, really, of what we call the Assemblies of God Church today. And Brother Hagin never said it this way, but I think he considered P.C. Nelson a spiritual father to him. You know, I mean, he greatly admired him, but he said more people lose their healing over a counterattack than any other thing. More people lose their healing over a counterattack than any other thing. You know, if the army goes out and they defeat somebody, you know, they take hill number 109, whatever, you know what I mean? They take some city and they drive the enemy away and they take it. They defeat them. They whip them. Well, a counterattack is when the enemy comes back and tries to take back what they lost. Amen. Well, you know, if you're a good army, you just rise up and you quickly squash them. But a counterattack, the devil doesn't want to. You get delivered from some sin, he doesn't want to give that up. You get delivered from fear, he doesn't want to give that up. You get delivered from some sickness and disease, he doesn't want to give that up. And so people get healed, they get delivered, they get set free by the power of God. But then the devil comes back and tries to take back what he lost. And because Christians don't know any better, because they haven't been properly taught, unfortunately, they don't hold fast to that which they have. They, instead of resisting the devil, they just go, oh my God, I thought I was free of that. I thought I was healed of that. I thought that problem was taken care of. Oh, it's come back on me. And they just let the devil take back the victory that they've already won. Are you following me? And so we need to realize that. It's a big deal. Amen. I said amen. In other words, a counterattack is somebody gets healed. We're talking about healing. Or the power of God is working in them and they are recovering. But the devil brings this counterattack, some symptom, some pain shows up. And instead of resisting it and saying, no, you don't, Mr. Devil, I stand against you. I was healed by the power of God. I was healed. I am healed. I don't accept that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of doing that, they begin to waver and question and reason and it come, oh, it's come back on me. I didn't really get anything to start with. Oh, no. And, of course, then that just opens the door. He comes back knocking, you see, and people open the door, let him back in, and he's able to put back on them what they were delivered from initially. I know years and years and years and years ago when I first moved to Cleveland, Tennessee, I had this situation where I'm talking about I couldn't swallow. Do you know how many times you swallow a day? You probably never think anything about it. I never think anything about it. But I did that day because every time I swallowed, it was like it took me to my knees to swallow. It hurt so bad. Of course, I'm, you know, by stripes, I'm healed. And so this went on for a couple of days. And like I said, you swallow a lot more than you realize. And so finally I went to the emergency room. I thought, well, bless God, I'm healed by the power of God, but I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to go up there. I just want them to give me something for my symptoms, but I'm healed by the power of God. Of course, you know, they don't understand that type of terminology and they do tests on me and so forth. And they said, well, we don't know what to tell you. You can, you know, gargle with warm water or whatever, salty warm water or whatever. They might have given me a Tylenol or something. I'm really not sure. Anyway, I got home, and within 15 minutes, those symptoms were totally 100% gone. Now, I can't explain it to you. Symptoms just disappeared. Well, the next day, they call me, And they said, you've got strep throat. Now, I don't know what happened between 19, you know, way back then when I first moved here 40 years ago or whatever, 35 years ago and today. But today, we hear about kids in our school, for instance, they have a strep throat every other week sometimes in the winter. But when I was growing up, strep throat was kind of a, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It was a serious thing, real serious. I don't know if there's different strands of it or whatever. Anyway, the lady said, well, you've got strep throat, and the doctor wants you to come back up here and start these treatments, this, that, and the other, and so forth. I said, well, thank you, but I'm fine. She goes, what do you mean you're fine? I said, well, I'm fine. And she said, your throat doesn't hurt? I said, no, ma'am. And I mean, now think about this, because I normally wouldn't. She said, wait a minute. And she went and got the doctor and put the doctor on the phone with me. And the doctor said, you don't have any symptoms? I said, I don't have any symptoms. He said, your throat doesn't hurt? I said, my throat doesn't hurt. He said, doesn't hurt when you swallow anymore? I said, doesn't hurt when I swallow anymore. And he said, well, I don't understand that. But he said, you've got to come up here. And you've got to take this treatment we give you. Because if you don't, it could cause. And he started, I forgot what he said, but it was all this serious stuff that it would do to my liver or kidney or something. I don't know. I said, thank you, Doc. I appreciate it, but I'm fine. Now, that's an interesting testimony, but here's what's interesting. It must have been 15 years later. I'm riding back from Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if Tony was in the car or Margaret, but we're bringing Svetlana, maybe watching tonight. Hi, Svetlana, if you are. From Ukraine, you know, we were bringing her to Cleveland, Tennessee, where we picked her up at the Atlanta airport. I'm telling that testimony, and as I told that testimony, like you snapped your fingers, all of that came on my throat. And you know what I did? I freaked out and got in fear and fell apart and got on the phone. No, I just to myself, I just smiled and said, no, you don't, you liar. I resist you in the name of Jesus. And I just smiled, and we kept going our conversation there. And within about 3 minutes, just like you snapped your fingers, it disappeared again. I tell you, the devil's crazy. As Brother Hagin used to say, though, he is a persistent cuss. But he's crazy. Amen. In other words, he's trying to put that back on me, whatever it was, but I just refused to take it. Are you listening to me? See, bottom line, it all goes back to, are we living by feelings and sight, or are we living by the Word of God? When it comes to our health and healing and faith in the Word of God, are you ready? How we feel is totally irrelevant and unimportant. We should always say, the Word of God says I'm healed, and I say I'm healed. Yeah, but the Word of, how do you know you're healed? Because the Word says I'm healed. You feel better? I'm healed because the Word says I'm healed. Yeah, but how do you feel? I'm healed because the Word says I'm healed. Well, if you want to drag me down to that level, no, I can tell you I don't feel very good, but I am healed because the Word of God says I'm healed. Or, I'll tell you the truth, I feel real good, but that's not why I'm healed. I'm healed because the Word of the living God says I am healed. People in our circles may not say it, but you know, here's what a lot of people say. I'm not going to believe that I've got something when my physical senses tell me I don't have it. There's a lot of people that's what they say or that's what they believe. You're trying to get me to say I've got something and it doesn't look like it's so, it doesn't feel like it's so, it doesn't seem like it's so. I'm not going to do that. Well, that's walking by sight, not by faith. And that's exactly opposite of what the Word of God tells us to do. We walk by faith and not by sight. Sight represents all of our senses. Amen. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. And so, you know, like I said, people in our circles, they wouldn't dare say that. They know better than that. But still, listen to me carefully. As long as they are waiting for some feeling, waiting to feel better, or waiting for something to change before they believe they are healed, they are in reality walking by sight and not by faith, and it won't work. They are in essence saying, even though they don't say it because they know better, but they are in essence saying, I'm not going to believe something until it's confirmed by my senses. Well, that contradicts everything we've ever been taught about faith. Amen. How do we know we are healed? Because the Word says we are. Can you say amen? Because Matthew 8:17 says himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Because 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you were healed. And if the Word of God says I was, then I am. Hallelujah. So when some symptom shows up, contrary to the Word, after you've claimed your healing, you may even feel good for a few days. Or you just, you know that you're getting better and better and better. If some symptom shows up, some pain shows up, don't fall for this wile of the devil. Don't fall for this scheme of the devil. Don't fall for the devil's counterattack. Resist it. Stand firm in faith against it. And say, blessed be God, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus because the Word says I am. Don't lose your healing to a counterattack. While I'm at it, let me just throw this in because this is an adult Bible study and this is a very, very adult Bible study. As you get older, don't accept thoughts and feelings and suggestions and symptoms that tell you that just, you know, everybody knows that just inch by inch, just over time, slowly, you're going to become more and more decrepit and weak and feeble and frail and senile. Resist that. Resist that. Resist that. You could go into that for 3 hours, but just a couple of scriptures to stand on. Proverbs 3:2 says, if we will keep God's word, then we will have length of days. Length of days means long life. If we will keep God's word, we will have long life and years of life worth living. Amplified Bible. Years of life worth living. I like Gloria Copeland. She said, not only will God add years to your life, but he will add life to your years. Not a matter of just living a long time. You want to live a long, healthy life. And that's what the scripture is saying. He's saying if we'll keep God's word and obey God's word and just live for God, we'll have a long life. We'll have a long, healthy life. And I like Psalms 92, 12 and 13, paraphrasing it. It says, the righteous will flourish. They'll still be fruitful and useful in old age. You will still be fruitful and useful, and it says you will be green or full of sap. In other words, you'll be healthy. You'll be full of life. In your old age, you'll be full of life. You'll be useful and you'll be productive. Say, that's me. Glory to God. Well, say my body says something else sometimes. Tell it to shut up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Christian Standard Bible says they will still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green. Somebody said, are you saying we're never going to die? Of course I'm not. But who said you had to die sick? Glory to God. The Contemporary English Version says they will be like trees that stay healthy and fruitful even when they are old. So I expect to be, you should expect to be healthy and fruitful, amen, and full of life, even as you get older. That doesn't mean that you won't be challenged. Dear God, people get challenged when they're 7 years old. They get challenged when they're 14. Sometimes it's age-related. Sometimes it's not. There are all kinds of challenges in every area of life. Always. In this world, you will have tribulations and trials and tests. Amen. So there's always challenges. Glory to God. But faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I was with, you know, Brother Copeland's 84 years old. I was at his minister's conference, or maybe I heard it on CD, but anyway, it was the one 2 years ago, I think. And, he's 84. And he said, you know, sometimes when I get up, I have to say, come on, legs. You're not doing that. Come on. Get with it. Let's go in the name of Jesus. Huh? I read an article by a doctor one time. He said, I'm glad we don't treat children like we do older people. With old people, we just say, oh, that's just age-related. He said, well, if it's a young person, the diseases that attack young people can kill them. Every sickness and disease is death begun. And he says, but we just don't say, oh, they try to do something about it. When it comes to older people, they just say, well, that's just age-related, and they're going to die from it. He was saying, as a doctor, he wasn't even writing from a Christian viewpoint, that if we would treat older people differently, they wouldn't necessarily die, even in the natural, from some of the diseases they have. So, yes, there's some challenges, but you just don't accept anything that's not in line with the Word. Can you say amen? Now, getting back to our main subject real quick. Let me give you some examples of Satan's counterattacks that'll really make this clear to you, I think, from the ministry of Brother Hagin. Outstanding example. He said, one man said to me, I believe if God heals you, you are healed forever, because this man had lost his healing. Well, I said, this is Brother Hagin, that can't be true, because when Jesus himself appeared in a vision to John on the Isle of Patmos and sent a message to the seven churches in Asia Minor, he said to one of them, hold fast that which you have. Why did he tell them to hold on to it if they couldn't lose it? This man said, well, maybe I'm wrong. I said, I know you're wrong. That's the reason you lost your healing. Your wrong thinking has opened the door to the devil to put your sickness back on you. When I ministered to you 8 months ago, you were healed. Now listen to this testimony. When I ministered to you 8 months ago, you were healed. Yes. Have you had any symptoms in those 8 months or any pain? Not a pain, not a symptom. I want to ask you a question then. How long had you had the ailment before I laid hands on you? 25 years, he said. He was more than 60 years of age. I said, in all those 25 years, was there ever a day when you were without pain? He said, not one day. Was there ever a day when you were without symptoms? Not one day. I took medicine every day for 25 years. I laid hands on you in the name of Jesus 8 months ago, and every symptom and pain disappeared for 8 solid months. He said, that's right. Why, dear brother, I said, a child would know he was healed. But because your sickness has come back on you, you were saying the Lord never did heal you to start with. I'll tell you exactly what happened. When the first symptom, the first pain returned, you said, I thought I was healed. I guess I'm not. Do you know that man had the audacity to say? His eyes got big and he said to me, why, you must be a mind reader or a fortune teller. That's exactly what happened. No, I said, I'm not reading your mind or telling your future. I knew you had to open the door for the devil to come back in. But that's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I did, he said. I told him, when you said, I thought I was healed, I guess I'm not, you opened the door consciously or unconsciously, it's still open, and you said, come on back in, Mr. Devil, and put it back on me, and he obliged you. I talked to that man for 45 minutes, told him what to do to receive his healing, how to keep his healing. I preached to him and taught him, laid hands on him in the middle of a cow pasture, and bless God, he got his healing, and this time he kept it. I saw him many years later and he was still healed because he had learned how to keep it. He had learned how to resist the devil. He had learned how to resist the symptoms by saying, no, devil, you're not going to put that back on me. I'm healed and I know I am and I'm holding on to it. This is scriptural. It's a principle that the devil is always going to try to come back in where he has been. And if you let him, he'll come back in and put the same sickness or disease, the same symptoms or something worse on you if you allow it. That's why we need to know that healing is spiritual and it can be lost. How do you keep your healing? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That means resist anything that comes from the devil. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Listen to this. In a full gospel church in one of our western states, there was a man who had been born with a deformed foot, born with it, and a leg that was about 4 inches shorter than the other. You know, sometimes people's legs appear to be shorter, but it's just a back adjustment. We're talking about just a quarter of an inch at the most. But this man, 4 inches shorter, and he's got a deformed foot. He couldn't walk without crutches. He was crippled. His deformed leg was not as big as the other one. It had not grown right. But in one of my healing meetings in the church, he got healed. His leg, his crippled leg, grew out the same length as the other, and his deformed foot straightened out. At 37 years of age, this man was able to wear the first matching pair of shoes he had ever worn in his life. 6 weeks after my meeting was over, the pastor was taking prayer requests on a Wednesday night. A woman got up and said, listen carefully now, Pastor, I was healed during Brother Hagin's meeting, and for 6 weeks I've been all right. But all my symptoms have come back on me, and I'm worse than ever. I want you all to pray for me. Without thinking, the pastor agreed. Then this fellow who had been healed of the crippled foot and short leg stood up and said, Pastor, may I say a word? I think it will help this sister. See, he wants to try to help her. So he says, you all know me. I was crippled. I've been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit for several years now. I too was healed in Brother Hagin's meeting. You know, I'm perfectly healed. Just this past week, I was walking on Main Street when suddenly a pain hit me in the ankle. And that foot that had been healed just began to turn in. I almost fell. In fact, I would have fallen if I had not reached my hand out and leaned against a store building. That foot turned in with such pain I could hardly stand it. I just slid down the wall and sat on the sidewalk. I don't know what people thought because I picked up my ankle and foot in my hands and yelled out loud, "No, you don't, devil. You don't put that back on me. God's healed me." And every symptom left, and I've been all right ever since. He maintained his healing. And when he got through telling that testimony, I promise you, all the church shouted and rejoiced and praised God. Then they turned around and said, "Okay, sister, now we're going to pray for you." In other words, we're going to act like you didn't really get healed. Instead of saying, because the pastor didn't know. How can the people know if the pastor doesn't know? He should have said, "Now, sister, we need to do exactly, you need to stand up and say, 'No, I resist you. I was healed, and I'm not going to let you take it back, Satan.'" But they prayed for her, and Brother Hagin said, under those conditions, that prayer wouldn't work because she had denied what God had already done. You can lose by praying, he says. Some years ago, we were down in Greensboro, North Carolina, almost finished, hanging there. A woman said to me, "Brother Hagin, when you were here 2 years ago, I was healed of asthma and related respiratory conditions. I had been under the care of specialists for years and had spent thousands of dollars. For 18 solid months, I never had a symptom. Then about 6 months ago, every symptom of asthma and respiratory condition came back, almost played into the hands of the devil by accepting it. But I kept endeavoring to stand against it. I said, 'No, you can't put it back on me. Thank God I heard your teaching. I came every day and every night when you were here. My husband finally insisted that I go in for an examination. I went in. The doctor said, 'I don't understand it. You've got the symptoms, but you don't have asthma. Every test we run is negative.' She said, I just spoke up and told him, 'That's the lying devil bringing lying symptoms, trying to put it back on me.' Well, the doctor said, 'Whatever it is, you don't have it.' She said, I stood against it and it disappeared. I wouldn't have known to do that if I hadn't been taught correctly. I don't know why Christians don't stand against the devil and everything that's of the devil. Sickness is not of God. Sickness does not come from heaven. Sickness is not a blessing, and you should stand against it." Glory to God. I know I was diagnosed with cancer. You know, cancer is one of those things that, you know, when you're totally well, people still kind of look at you expecting it to come back on you. And you can have a twinge here, and you can have a twinge there, and you can have a, you know, you had a tumor here, you had a tumor here, you had a tumor, you know, and when those twinges come, I if they come today, if they come tonight, I say, "No, you don't, in the name of Jesus. I am the healed of God." Yes. Stand up with me. Here's an opportunity to release your faith to be healed if you need healing. Here's an opportunity. We're going to give you a confession just out of this little book I read. You could say it 5,000 million ways. But it's an opportunity to you release your faith to get healing if you need it, or to run the devil off if you are healed and he's trying to steal it from you. You follow what I'm saying? I don't know how many testimonies I've heard from people that got healed in Oral Roberts meetings where he said, "I thought he was going to pray this long. And he just barely brushed his hand on my head and said, 'Be healed.' Or he said, 'In the name of Jesus,' and walked and left me." He said, "Now," and when he left, I went, "I'm healed." So here's a confession. Now watch this. That will help you to get healed. It will help you to keep your healing. Are you ready? All you have to do is release faith in what we're going to say. Say, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I exercise authority over my body. Sickness and disease." If you're online, you say this out loud with us. "Sickness and disease, I refuse to allow you to stay. This body belongs to God. It's the temple of God. Satan, you have no right to trespass on God's property. Now get out. Leave my body. I've got authority over you. I know it. You know it. God knows it. And I hold fast to that which I have. I hold fast to that which I've received. And I'm keeping my healing in the name of Jesus." Now lift both hands and praise God over it. Thank you for it. Thank you, Father. We are healed and whole. Glory to God. We don't allow the devil to steal the healing that rightfully belongs to us. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Amen. 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 Now you know, and more than likely you've been reminded of exactly what to do when you've already prayed about something, anything, when you've already believed you received anything, when you've already been healed. You know exactly what to do when the devil comes with some circumstance or thought or suggestion or dream, or you immediately do what the Word of God says, Doug's favorite scripture, and you cast it down, you eradicate it. You don't put up with it. Casting down. That word casting down, it really means to totally demolish in the Greek. And that's the attitude you take. Anything that's not of God, any thought that comes, any dream that comes, any suggestion that comes, any feeling that comes, any circumstance that comes, any emotion that comes, immediately cast it down and declare, according to the Word of God, I am whatever it is you prayed for. In this case, healing. I am healed in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The devil may be a liar and he may be a persistent cuss. I'm reminded of that. I'm reminded somehow or another of that old Rocky movie, you know, where he's fighting that one guy, and he said he's tough. He's a real man, and he grabs Rocky, you know, and he says, "You'll be more of a man." Praise God. We don't have to do anything but just rest in what Jesus has done. Glory to God. Amen. But rise up. Take your authority. Keep the devil run off your property. He has no right there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.